the home team.
And here we go.
The home team presented by Athens Technical College, your passion, your future. Elevated, Chris and Jeff with you on this fabulous Monday. The Dogs have won again. Hey, even the Falcons won.
Those dummies.
Just blew out the Saints in New Orleans yesterday. And what else could happen? This is about it, huh?
Well, the Dogs won. Tech lost, but they are improving.
Tech lost. Bama lost. I count that as a good thing, although yeah. You just have replaced one problem with another, it appears, and that would be LSU.
No, that was a huge win for LSU. I was happy for them. I mean, they had lost to those guys 8 straight years. I mean, we know what it's like. I mean, the 2 in a row. And they had, during that stretch, I mean, the 2012 game, obviously, after beating them, then having to play them for the national championship.
And Coach O's a real treasure.
Oh, I love the guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got to be everyone's second favorite coach behind your own.
Absolutely.
And even then, like, so many fans just hate their own coaches anyway, that maybe Coach O is everyone's favorite coach.
I think you are right in that, unless you're an elitist Bama fan, just about everyone we talk to, you're harder on your team than outside people are.
Sure, I mean, yeah.
You remember, like, we talked about that when we saw those Missouri fans Friday at the Blind Pig. So you guys said, yeah, but our best linebacker, we don't know if Bryant's going to play.
It was like, you know, hey, go easy on us. And in the end, we did beat them by almost 4 touchdowns. Yeah, it wasn't 9-6 again, but.
No, but it was still, you know, whenever I talked to some of my friends at other schools, oh, you guys got a really good team. Yeah, but our quarterback's struggling, this guy. I mean, it's basically, unless you're – hearing these dream words, undefeated defending national champions.
Yeah, even then, though, there'd probably someone would find something to pick on.
Well, look no further than the head coach of Alabama, Nick Saban. It's like, you know, they won a national title the next year. They're 9-0. Oh, God, yeah, how could you ask me about this? Like, coach,
well, I mean,
you relax a little bit.
In the last two games they've played against good teams, they've lost by 4 touchdowns and were down 33-13 at halftime at home to them. So
it will
might be time for someone to hang it up.
It will be intriguing to see if things do play out where from one way or the other, who knows, if you've got 3 teams that are locks to get in, let's say an undefeated or a once beaten SEC champion, Ohio State and Clemson.
Yeah.
If they're sitting there with only this loss to LSU,
yep.
If there are some politics in play.
Tua wasn't
100%. There you go. And that this year, they're like, well, you've weaseled in there a couple of times already.
Well, if this scenario where if there's a once-beaten SEC champ, that means it's Georgia.
Or LSU could say lose to A&M and then win the game.
No. That's not going to happen.
So Georgia or LSU wins it.
All right. So if there's a once-beaten SEC champ, that has to be Georgia. Then you have Ohio State and Clemson. There's no way they could take Alabama over LSU. Or could they?
Well, it was a more recent loss. Does that matter now?
Sometimes it does.
Yeah, because Alabama lost to Auburn and still got in. That was as most recent as it gets.
Yep. Yeah.
As in their last game.
It was their most recent game they had lost.
I love it, too, because Saban the year before, when Ohio State was trying to get in, well, no, you should have to win your conference. Next year, a reporter, I give him credit for actually having I guess you have to be credited for having guts. It takes guts to ask what's a realistic question.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, last year you said, well, I think what we're looking for is the 4 best teams.
Well,
oh, okay.
Again, this goes back to there's not like a uniform set of rules or criteria, because even the thought of like, well, you at least have to have beaten the team that you make the playoff over. No, you don't, because Ohio State 1 year got in over Penn State, who beat them and also won the Big Ten.
That is correct.
So there is precedent for you know, the potential for Alabama to, yes, get in over LSU, even though LSU beat them.
There's a part of me, in college football, is the best. It's the greatest because all these games are so vital. Except, of course, you know, if you're Alabama and you lose as an undefeated team to your most ancient rival and, you know, you still get in the playoffs. But anyways, I was thinking about this driving in today as I play my bulldog violin. Like, if things don't go our way, it's like, you know, maybe the pros have got it right. Like, you think if this was college, if the Saints were LSU and were 9-1 and lost to a 1-7 like Vanderbilt, it would be one of the worst losses. But no, it's like, it doesn't matter. So what, are they going to be the 3 seed or the 2 seed? I mean, who cares?
No, and
they're in the playoffs.
And when it comes to the draft, too, it's like, well, the Falcons were dummies for winning the game.
Right. So if college, if this was the NFL, and then you're like, well, if Georgia can split with Auburn and A&M and beat Tech, yeah, they'll be in the SEC/ACC side playoffs. It's like, no big deal. But all these games are just so massive. Unless you're Alabama and you lose 9-6 to LSU in what was dubbed the game of the century, but then you get a rematch with them, or you lose to your ancient rival in the last game. And those should have been two of their 3, maybe 4 biggest losses ever, along with the 73 Sugar Bowl that cost them the national title in the punt, Bama punt game. But no, they still wound up getting in and winning it in those 2 years.
Yes. No, Bama fans are probably flooding the Paul Feinbaum show today, elated that, hey, the last time we lost to LSU,
we won it all,
so this is a good sign.
We don't need to go. That'll just give us an extra week to rest,
Maybe Dylan Moses will actually come back and be healthy.
So let me just say this about that. You know, no matter what happens on the plane Saturday, and I've got a couple of very good friends at Auburn, and – you know, I know, obviously, for me growing up and Auburn beating us 7 out of 8 years from 83 to 90, that was a rough stretch. But when I found myself, you know, you don't ever argue with a little man, Jerry. But when I found myself just openly rooting for Auburn against Alabama, like, I never thought I'd do that, because back in the day, it was helpful because we didn't play Bama that much. It was helpful for Georgia and Alabama if both were good. Kind of like it was helpful for Georgia and Florida State if both were good. But now I go for Auburn 100% against Alabama. Not even close.
It's a no-brainer.
I mean, I hate Bama way worse.
All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, talk about what makes college football great. It's also the stupid arguments. And here's one that's been taking place for the last couple of days. It's LSU won 46-41, right?
Right.
The argument is, did Alabama get blown out at home, or did they lose a close game?
It's like,
which was it? Because it's like, all right, well, they were down 33-13. Okay. Well, in the end, they lost by 5. Did they get blown out at home or lose a close game? Which is it?
They lost by 5.
Okay. Was it a close game, or did they get blown out?
That's 5 points is a close game in my book.
Yeah, I think it was – yeah, there were big swings either way. Bama returned a punt for a touchdown. That helped get them on the board there. That Tua was also scrambling for what appeared to be that he would have gone in for a touchdown, and, like, somebody had a string on the ball and yanked it out of his hands, and it was just a completely unforced fumble that cost Alabama a chance to go up early.
Be quiet. They'll take that into account.
They probably will, yeah.
Well, that was a
well, LSU break. Didn't force that fumble. So
that doesn't really
they don't
count.
Get any credit. But it is like it's been fascinating that – and I guess LSU fans are – they're taking it as a slight or something. But, like, no. No one's slighting LSU. But at the same time, for some reason that game – maybe it was because it was 33-13 at halftime. It felt like it was more lopsided than it was, but when you get down to it, it was a pretty evenly matched heavyweight fight, which was what was expected of that game going in.
Chris, I saw very little of it. I was kind of following the score. Would you agree? Now, this was obviously much more high scoring, similar to Georgia-Florida in that it wound up being a tight game, but there was no doubt who was in control of the game.
Well, I think going into the fourth quarter, Alabama had made its run, and LSU had to be tight, but Joe Burrow, when they needed the drive, they did very little in the third quarter, and Alabama came back. And all of a sudden, it felt like Alabama's going to win the game. And they get to within a touchdown, and then Burrow, they put together this drive that basically sealed the deal. I mean, the guy's going to win the Heisman now, but
it's the thing with Bama is, it's like we said, you know, you got to beat them by 14 to win by 3.
Yeah.
They never go away, and they're going to get every break. So, but they never go away.
No, and they didn't, because they looked like they were about to just get run out of the building. But I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong, but even the year, was it 14 or 15, when Ole Miss beat them in Tuscaloosa? I mean, it must have been 15.
Yeah, they ended up winning by like...
Was it 43-37, Ole Miss? But I think, was Ole Miss winning like 37-10?
Yeah, like they led pretty much the whole game. But in the end, they had to hang on for dear life.
Yeah, they had to convert a fourth down just to, I mean, it was...
Yeah.
They don't go away.
Right. And then so LSU did score what looked like the knockout punch touchdown there. But then Alabama hit another long play and scored again. And like, well, that's the point of those offenses. They're capable of doing that, so you can never be comfortable. It wasn't just a garbage. They were up two scores and LSU relaxed. No, it was Bama scored like lightning fast.
I mean, the wide receiver rosters for those two teams are ridiculous.
What was, I think, the trio for Alabama, what they combined for, like 335 yards?
Well, and they're all three, they projected first round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, two of them top 10.
But the dude now, though, is Joe Burrow.
No, he's a guy.
I mean, what he did when you're on the road in Alabama, and that place, it feels like you just the sense of dread. We were up by 20, and now they're right there. Don't look back. Something might be gaining on you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right there, and just Burrow, cool as could be, no sweat.
Well, I think that also, to beat them, you have to stay on the attack.
Yeah, and they did.
And
they didn't just, you know, they didn't get conservative and just think like, man, can that clock tick any faster than it is? No. They just kept doing their thing. And they ended up winning. But it is like, it's an odd game because I guess because it was 33-13, it feels like, you know, Bama was blown out or something. And I guess there are some people that have that feeling, like Bama got blown out at home and they, you know, they made it close because it was just cosmetic in the end. But was it a Bama blowout or a Bama close? It was a close game, which unfortunately could end up just helping Bama later on in the year.
We're gonna just take that first Saturday in December off.
Well, they lost
the playoff.
They lost a tight game.
And
so,
by the way, put us in as the four, so we can play in Atlanta right next door.
I think they're going to be four tomorrow. I think everyone's just assuming that Georgia's going
to
move in there at number four.
We shouldn't jump them. We lost to South Carolina. They lost to LSU.
But we have better wins.
Yeah, we shouldn't jump.
We have Notre Dame and Florida are better wins.
Let me tell you what. If we would have beaten them the last two times, oh, God, or in 2012 as well, I'd say that. But, no, they've beaten us the last two times we played. They lost to LSU. We lost to South Carolina. They should be ahead of us. End of story.
All right, Georgia-Missouri from Saturday night. Give us what's your review of the game? Was it how many stars? You know, 3 3/4 stars, 4 stars, 2.5 stars?
No, you win an SEC game by 27 points. It's got to be an A. I do feel like we probably should have cashed in with a couple of touchdowns down in the red zone, so that probably takes away from it being an A+. And also, two straight games now, Bramer, we've had a long touchdown called back by a penalty. I mean, that's the type of thing, when you look, as we've talked about this offense, it's not as explosive as the last 2 years. There's no Hardman, Ridley, Holloman, now to Holyfield. Those guys are gone, and that's just the type of miscue that Georgia's going to have a hard time overcoming, especially in a knee knocker.
Well, yeah, and when you do get an explosive play and then it doesn't count, that's a crusher. When it doesn't count, and then also you have to move backward a few yards.
And the thing, too, with the Pickens one, and usually the first thing I'm doing is looking for penalty flags.
Well, you have to, even whether you're a fan of the team or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And then and obviously nobody even complained, and it was Pickens himself who was not lined up, but that's one of those where you didn't even realize it till like 5 seconds after the touchdown. So I think the ref that was running with him signaled the TD. So there must be some way they can communicate that if there's an offensive penalty that they – because most of the times you'll see them not signal the touchdown, but
yeah,
this one they did. Then it was like, oh, my gosh, bring it on back. Because like when Swift scored, the stupid flag thing didn't drop down on CBS for a while. So we're holding, don't see it. Yeah, then it's like, oh, wait a minute.
No, that is one of the – It's a I guess it's like a terrible way to have to watch football now, but that's the day and age it is, that anytime there's a big play, whether you're invested in the teams playing or not, if you're just watching the game just to be watching a good game, after every big play, or in the NFL, it's after like a third down stop. You're just waiting for that flag.
5 yards, illegal contact.
The flag 18, graphic.
That's an automatic first down.
Yeah, you're waiting for it.
The great Dan Jenkins wrote in Dead Solid Perfect, he said, why, and Dan Jenkins' favorite sport was college football. He said, but why golf is the greatest game. If a guy makes a 20-foot putt, you don't have to wait and see if some zebra is going to come in and say, no, there was walking, or no, you were offside. It doesn't count. If the putt goes in, putt goes in.
They did have that one guy last year, though, whose caddy was standing behind him. So
that's where golf's got to be careful.
Yeah, so they did dock him like 2 shots or something.
It's like, no, you got to get – but
for the most part, yeah.
For the most part. That's where golf – they need to be careful on this.
There's no going back and no. You're being penalized 5 feet now.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you made that putt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, now you got to make it from now you got to make it from 20 instead of 15.
And I agree with the great Dan Jenkins. That is one of the great things about golf. Like when Tiger made that putt to win the Masters, it's like you're not waiting. Oh, is there a flag?
Yeah.
A false start. Sorry.
The graphic, or like Nick Faldo and Jim Nance don't have to go, and there are no flags.
But they might take a look at this.
Yeah. Oh, all scoring putts are reviewed. But if they had that.
Yes, it did go in.
Yeah.
That's confirmed.
Yeah, it's just nothing sums up Roger Goodell's NFL like something that happened yesterday in the Dolphins-Colts game, which I'll tell you later.
Because it's epic.
Yeah, but that it pretty much sums up the current state of the NFL.
You know what I hate? It is worse if you get a call, then they flip it from you. But I hate when they review, like I think it was Florida's first touchdown, they reviewed it, and I'm like, it's a touchdown. Stop. And even if it's not, he's on the 1-inch line. Just because their fans are already going nuts. And then the play is confirmed. Touchdown. Then you get them juiced up again. It's like, I wish the coaches had the ability to just say, no, you know what? No, just give it to them.
Yeah. Well, because another thing that happens now is
momentum gets killed.
Well, and also now if it's a running clock, they'll dock 10 seconds.
Unless
you have a timeout.
That's
so like
true.
The referee was incompetent, and it's going to cost me 10 seconds.
Exactly.
All right, moving on in the 5-5, Jeff. The Falcons yesterday come back from an off week at 1-7 and just wallop the Saints in New Orleans, the 7-1 Saints, for the first time in Drew Brees' historic Hall of Fame career. His team was held out of the end zone in a home game, Jeff.
And by the way, where did that pass rush come from? Did they get him 4 times yesterday?
Six. Yeah, I think it was six.
Six is good.
Six is very good. Jeff, what was that yesterday?
Well, that was a team that was backed into a corner. This was all about the brotherhood fighting for their coach. It's like you say, Bramer, these are professional football players. It's an aberration, but I think what's got to be frustrating for Falcons fans is that, boy, Matt Ryan looked really good. This offense was humming. The line protected. And this defense, guys like Tack McKinley, Grady Jarrett, they finally got a pass rush.
I think even Beasley got a sack.
There you go. So where's this been? That's what's so maddening.
I know.
That was a complete effort yesterday.
It was just a straight domination by the Falcons.
No, it was one of those that if somebody would have told you going into that, like, all right, you're going to be in a coma for the first 9 weeks. You go watch this game. Tell me which team's in first place, which team's in last. You said, oh, well, the Falcons are in first place.
Honestly, it has to be one of the most impressive performances that any team has had this season.
To beat that team?
In New Orleans.
Like that?
Yeah.
100%.
Right. And I think if you're a Falcons fan, that's New Orleans. That's the rival. You hate them. And, you know, you should be nothing but happy about that. But I think big picture, you still want.
It's a bad win.
Yeah, because they're not gonna win like 7 more games now and finish 9-7.
No,
yeah,
that's not.
Right,
you're
still playing for like as good a draft pick as you could possibly get. But along the way, if you can wallop the Saints in New Orleans, you'll take that.
That's one of those where like I would ask my dad questions about sports. You know, like, hey, do you think we might beat Tech 100-0? He said, well, that's possible, but not probable.
Yeah.
So could Atlanta go 9-7 in theory?
They could.
Sure.
Mathematically, they are still alive to do that.
Can I drop something on you real quick? So the weekend you and I were talking off air yesterday, and we were just kind of going through some national stats. And I said, you know, the thing is, I said, Bream and I, you know, we'll do the national stats, Notre Dame and Tech, or if you play a big team, because these, you know, and some of these teams that play three or four bad teams, the stats are so skewed. He said, oh, you're exactly right. So, and then I said, can you imagine, like, if Herschel would have gotten to play against Murray State?
Well, he would have had, like, 4 or 5 carries all for touchdowns.
Yeah, for like 200 yards.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of that is, though, in some ways, I guess it could. You could be blowing them out so bad they wouldn't get the normal deal. But, I mean, literally, that's one, like, I was like, yeah, 12 carries, 524 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, I think he would have just scored a touchdown on every time he touched the ball, so at some point he just would have come out of the game after, like, the fourth or the fifth
right.
one, yeah.
But that's how, like, when you look at the college stats, they can really be skewed. And I would say I was doing some advanced work for the Bulldog Illustrated for the Texas A&M game, and, you know, just going back to that 7 overtime shootout, what just – how statistically skewed things were in a 74-72 game, both good and bad for both sides.
Well, yeah, like I'll never forget we played Ole Miss the week after they played that one of those 7 or 8 overtime
Arkansas?
Games against Arkansas.
Right.
And I remember like that week looking at their stats, like this team is unbelievable in the red zone. And then that's, you know, after a few minutes it hit me like, oh, well they ran like,
yeah.
I mean, how many possessions did you end up with in the red zone in that, I guess,
right,
what?
7
like
of
7
them.
Or 8 of them.
Right.
And, you know, they scored on every one of them just about. And so then you – yeah, but that's where, yeah, the stats get all messed up because of that.
So when you play – and I'll say, too, for Bama, not playing a good non-conference opponent to start the season, I really think it hurt them.
Yeah. Well, the last good team they had played before Duke beat them by 4 touchdowns, so they were probably a little bit nervous about doing that.
That, too, is true.
And then the next good team they played, LSU, beat them in Tuscaloosa.
Very true. Maybe Auburn will beat them, and they'll go 0-3
yeah.
against Tigers.
So Alabama 8-0 against bad teams and 0-2 against good
Don't
in their last 10 games.
The Aggies. They're going to hear that, and you're going to jinx us for that game.
All right, finally, Jeff, wrapping up the 5-5. How much should USC regret letting Ed Orgeron go?
What was he, 6-2 there?
Because they're about to be firing another coach, too.
They are. I don't think he would have been the fit in Los Angeles that he is in the other L.A.
He's perfect there.
He is perfect.
And I thought it was a joke that they got him, but he's a native son. He's got that accent.
The guys play for him. He's always been a good recruiter. Steve Ensminger's a very good coach, been going back to his days at Georgia. But then to go in and say, we're really good, but what do we need to do to take that next level? I got to do something to tweak this offense. And he went and got Joe Brady.
Yeah. And LSU is going to have a quarterback win the Heisman Trophy.
God, can you imagine if, I mean, those teams that they had from, oh my gosh, like, you know, 08 through 2012. I mean, if they'd have had a guy like this, they'd have won 2 or 3 more national championships.
Yeah.
Because they were great everywhere
else. They were good anyway, but
they just didn't have that consistent standout at quarterback.
I don't even know what his competition is now. I guess it's
Fields.
Is that about it? I mean, I know people were throwing Chase Young out there, but now that he's sitting, but he's also a defender. I don't think anyone was prepared for that.
No, and these guys, I mean, he's got the signature win now.
Yeah. I don't think Hurts.
No.
I don't think
no.
Hurts is in there. So I guess Fields is really the only one who's got a shot at it.
And you almost look too, you know, it would take somebody doing something dramatic down the stretch. And I don't know if anybody's got the stats to maybe jump up there like Derrick Henry did or Trey Mason got into the top 5. I mean, like, let's say the Dogs went and won out. Like, I don't think Fromm or Swift would have the numbers for it.
No, I don't either. Yeah, even if they went to Atlanta, beat LSU.
Right,
and, yeah.
Right.
So, I think Burrow locked that thing up on Saturday.
Yeah, I would think, yeah, Fields would probably be number 2. What's the back's name at Clemson?
ETN.
ETN, yeah.
Yeah, but You know, has anyone watched Clemson play?
Not since North Carolina.
Not since that game. I haven't seen them.
They've just been routing teams.
All right.
I think it's Burroughs, yeah.
That's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.